Friends, this evening we are turning to Ephesians chapter 5 and to verse 15. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And our title for today is the preciousness of time. The preciousness of time. How precious time is. The time that we have in this world, how precious it is, and how to use it wisely that will please God. But before we come to our main topic, you see that in this passage, Ephesians 5 from verse 1 to 20, Paul writes on general instructions for holy living. That's the emphasis that Paul is giving here. General instructions for holy living. So we can say that anything we say about time management from a biblical point of view is rooted in our desire to grow in holiness. So what we are going to talk about today about how to manage our time, how precious our time is for us to grow in holiness. How to spend our time to grow in holiness. So we begin from verse 1, and before we get to verse 15, you see that here Paul instructs believers to imitate God, imitate his love, and by walking in love as Christ did, and then to live as children of light. That's what Paul is telling us. And we know that this involves avoiding talking about sexual immorality, and then impurity and greed. And then instead, he said we should focus on thankfulness and exposing the deeds of darkness. So he said that Christians, we should be wise in our conduct, in everything that we do, and make sure what we do is what pleases God. Because he has not given us time for ourselves. He has given us time in this world to prepare for the future. So how we use our time is very, very important in this world. And here he's saying that we should not involve ourselves in sexual immorality, in impurity and greed, and instead focus on the thankfulness, and then we should expose the deeds of darkness. So in principle, he said that Christians should be wise in their conduct and discerning what pleases the Lord. Verse 1, he says, let's digest what he says from verse 1 to 2. He said, imitate God. Imitate God. So believers are called to be imitators of God, to imitate, to learn from God. And particularly in love. He talks about love. Imitate God in love. Just as children follow their parents' example. Because of the love of God, we should follow him and also live as that in love. So to imitate God's love, as Paul is saying here, is that we should walk in love as Christ loved us. You know what Christ has done for us? He laid down his life for us so that we will have life. And that is what he's saying. That is the love he has shown for us. And we should also show that same kind of love in our walk with God, or in sacrificing for others. And also in showing grace and forgiveness. That's the point that Paul is making here. And being compassionate and being kind, and then demonstrating selflessness and generosity. That's what Paul is telling us. So how do we imitate God practically? How do we imitate the love of God? First is sacrifice and selflessness. To sacrifice and also to be selfless in our relationship with other believers. He said we should put the needs of others before our own. We should also be giving generously of our time, our resources, our self-resources and energy to help those in need. Here, we can talk about evangelism. How do you spend your time, your energy and your resources in reaching out to other people who have not yet come to know the truth? How are you doing that? Are you saying for yourself and just for yourself? No. How are you spending your your money and your time and your energy to help those in need. There are many people who are perishing. People are not hearing this truth. People are not hearing the truth about how to gain salvation, how to be saved from this wicked world. What are you doing to support such people? How are you doing to reach out to them with your resources and the energy and everything that you have? So that is what he's talking about, sacrifice and selflessness. And here he's also talking about grace and forgiveness. We have to show the same forgiveness that Christ has shown to us and his compassion unto other people. So that when even somebody offends you, you don't hold any grudge against that person. See, we offended God, but in all our offense, he sent his son to come and die for us to save us. So if we should imitate him, it should be the same thing, that we should also be compassionate and also forgiving others what they have done to us. Then he's talking about compassion and kindness. He said, be kind, tender-hearted, and compassionate towards one another in your daily interactions with other believers and even unbelievers. How do you relate to people? Once we live in this world, offenses will come. People will offend us. But how do you treat it when one offends you? How do you handle it? Do you bear him a grudge and also try to also do whatever you want to do, or do you make it known to him and settle it out? That's what it means by compassion and kindness. Then you also talk about service. You actively serve and help the less fortunate. We live in a society, especially in our part of the world, that there are many, many poor people, there are many, many people who go hungry. We care for the sick and also being with them when they are lonely. How do you do all these things? All our time on this earth are for these things, to imitate God, especially his love and what Christ has done for us. He also talked about community and connection. Here we have to build up and encourage other believers, showing a selfless, humble love to them, and put the needs of people around us first. Some are blessed that they can take care of themselves, but there are other people who are suffering, who are even hungry, like I said. How do you support them with the little that God has given you? He also talked about truth and wisdom, to be truthful. Even when it's difficult, speak the truth to your friend, to your fellow believer, whatever it is. You have to speak the truth to him. So these are the prelims for our main subject. Just what Apostle Paul had said from the beginning. So we are also going to learn how to practically practice all these things. How do we do all these that Paul is telling us? The first is prayer. With all things, it begins with prayer. Without prayer, we can do nothing. So we have to pray for guidance, we have to pray for compassion and strength to live out God's love in practical ways. To be able to do all these things, we have to pray for God's help and for God's support, that we can live this kind of life. And the second thing we have to do practically is to study the Bible. Bible study. We have to study the Word of God. Spend time in God's Word to understand what it means by biblical love, and be filled with the knowledge to live it out. You have to know something to be able to live it out. So we have to study the Bible. Come to Bible studies on your own, study the Bible, buy books to read, and understand what it means by God's love for you to be able to apply it. Then, your relationship with other believers. That is why it's necessary to have fellowship. We'll meet together, and after the service, we have fellowship. We discuss things, we move together and know each other's problems and how we can support each other. By focusing on all these things, you can imitate the selfless sacrificial love that Christ came to demonstrate to us. First, he said we should walk in love. How do you walk in love? Here he's talking about how Christ walked, how he gave himself up for us. so that we'll be saved from this wicked world and the coming wrath. So when he said we should walk in love, we should walk as Christ did. We should love each other, not even only our believers, show sincere love to our fellow human beings. Then he talked about avoiding immorality and greed. Talk about sexual immorality, impurity, and greed. Greed is wanting more and more and more. Spending time in money and business and so on, instead of spending some time with God. And he said we should also walk in light. Because as Christians, we were once in darkness, and now we are in the light of God. And we should live according to that light, so that we will produce goodness and righteousness and truth. He also talked about discernment and exposure. Believers should carefully determine what pleases the Lord. See, discern what God is pleased with and do exactly that, and then expose the fruitless deeds of darkness rather than participating in them. When I say deeds of darkness, they are sinful behaviors and attitudes that are not pleasing to God and contrary to the will of God. Examples include, like we have talked about impurity already, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, drunkenness, and division, which the Almighty hates. Then he talked about deception and then wrath. See, those who practice such deeds of darkness and refuse to repent are warned that God's wrath will come upon them. So, as I said, all these things are preliminary to our main topic, spending our time wisely, which is our main focus. So, we are going to talk about how to spend our time, the importance of spending our time wisely, why we should do that, and how to practically do it. I have a few quotes here about renowned authors and what they have explained about this our time. I will start with Richard Baxter. I'm sure most of you have heard about him before. He was a Puritan and a theologian and a public writer. He said, "Be careful how you spend your time. To waste time is to squander a precious gift from God. To waste our time is to squander a precious gift from God." Like I said, God did not give us this time. We have time here and we have time in eternity. The 1 year is to take us through this one and prepare us for time in eternity. So he's saying that be careful how you spend your time. To waste time is to squander a precious gift from God. Then another quote from Thomas Bruce. Thomas Bruce, we all know him. He was also a Puritan preacher and author. He wrote the book Precious Remedies Against the Devil's Devices. He said, "Time, like a river, carry us swiftly toward eternity. Steer your soul well. Your life is short, and your duties are many. Therefore, faint not. Walk in the path of holiness, and heaven shall make amends for all." You see what he's saying here? He says, time is short, and our duties are many. Time is very, very short. Before you realize it is gone, and we have many, many things to do for the Lord. We are not here for nothing. We are here for a purpose. So how do you spend that time? That is what he's saying. Then Jonathan Edwards, we know Jonathan Edwards, the one who wrote Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. He said, "Time is a talent given us by God, and he will call us to account for how we have spent it. Time is so short, and the work which we have to do in it is so great, that we have none of it to spare. Time is precious because it gives us opportunity of escaping everlasting misery and of obtaining everlasting blessedness and glory. Time is a thousand times more precious than money. But when it is gone, it cannot be purchased for money, nor redeemed by silver or gold." Very, very powerful, very, very wise saying how precious time is. I've just about two more. John Flavel, the one who wrote Keeping the Heart, he's also saying that let us not trifle away our precious hours, for they are few and uncertain. Time is a talent to be stewarded, not squandered. Then our old man John Owen, we know who John Owen was. He was a vice chancellor at the Oxford University and a theologian, and he was a Puritan. He said, "Our days will flee away quickly, but eternity presses ever nearer. The greatest wasters in the world are those who waste their time. Time is not your own, but lent to you by God. See that you spend it for His glory." These are quotes from these people. These people are well grounded in scriptures, and this is what they are saying about how there are so many of them from Thomas Watson, Lord Whitfield, and the rest. But we'll deal with this for now. So we see how precious our time is and how God wants us to spend our time. Not an unnecessary thing. So, as I said, we'll go on and learn how we can practically do these things. But before then, I will have to do a few scripture verses about this time, how precious it is. I begin from Psalm 39, verse 4 and 5. It says, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end, and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere hundred. Each man's life is but a breath." See what the psalm is saying here. Then Psalm 90, the psalm that we just read. "The length of our days is 70 years or 80. If we have the strength, yet their span is but trouble and sorrow. But they quickly pass and we fly away." The same Psalm 90, verse 3, says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So you see, you spend your time wisely and become wise. Ephesians, as we have just read, says, "Be careful then how you live out, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, "For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay." Last one, James 4:14. "You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." So you see how precious our time is, the time that God has given us, and how we must spend it, especially in a way that will please God and to prepare us for eternity. So why is time precious? Why is it precious at all? After all that these preachers have said and the scriptures have said, why is it so precious? It is precious, number one, because a happy or miserable eternity depends on the good of its improvement, of it, how we improve it here. See, he said, a happy or miserable eternity, life in eternity, whether it will be happy or miserable, will depend on how we improve it here. So, we all know how things are precious in proportion to their importance. Here we talk about precious things, depending on how important it is to us. In the same way, you can see how precious time is if you know that it is giving you to prepare for eternity where you live forever and ever. So how you improve on it here will depend whether you will lead a miserable life or a life of joy with God in heaven. Secondly, our welfare in this world also depends upon this improvement. Like I said, even our life here, how we live our life here, our welfare is also depends on how we improve our lives in this world that the Lord has given to us now. The second reason why time is precious is because it's very short, as we learn from most of the quotes and also of the scriptures. Time is very short, which is another thing that makes it very, very precious. We know that in economics, the scarcity of any commodity determines its price. When the commodity is in abundance, it becomes low. When it's scarce, it becomes high. Those who did economics, I think that is what it means. So time is very short. And you don't see it because we are moving about, but time is very, very short. So we have to be very careful how we spend it. That's one of the reasons why we say time is precious. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 25, there's a quotation there. He said when Samaria was besieged by the Assyrians and their provisions were exceedingly very, very scarce, he said a donkey's head was sold for 4 score pieces of silver, and the 4 parts of a cup of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. So we compare this to eternity, then you know what we talk about, how precious time is. Job said the same thing in Job 16, verse 22. When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. And then James chapter 4, verse 14 says, our life is but a vapor which appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So this is the reason why the time is very short. Time is very short. And the work which we have been given to do is very great, as we have learned from the beginning. All what we need to do before our death or before Christ comes is so great that we have to do whatever it takes to improve on our time here. The next reason why time is precious is that we are uncertain of its continuance. Nobody is certain of how whether time will continue or not. We all see our friends, our relatives passing away when nobody expected. You see somebody today, the next day you can't see him. Or even if the person is not dead, you'll find the person in a very different condition. So we are uncertain of time continuance. What you can do today, you have to do it. You don't know what will happen to you tomorrow. So you have to improve on the time now, not because you don't know the our future. And this is the case with many people who waste their time. Sometimes when I'm passing here and I see a lot of people down there playing drums, I wonder what these people are using their time for. Sometimes somebody will come and park his car there and wait for the other friends to come. And they see a church here. So I say, so these people, can they also come here one day to come and listen to us? See how they are spending their time on unnecessary things. And a lot of people are doing that. Today is Sunday. I'll talk about how precious the Lord's Day is and how people spend it, even believers spend it. It's amazing how people waste their time. Some can sit down and just argue talks the whole day. And it is very, very important that such people are warned. Because the next reason is that when it is this short time, when it is passed, it can never be recovered. When time is passed, that is it. This morning is passed. You can never have that same morning again. So whatever we have done in the morning, if we have not done it, it is gone. That is what he's saying. When it is passed, it can never be recovered. There are many, many things which man says that we can pass it. There are certain things that we can pass with and we can get them back when we want. But it's not in time. When time is gone, it is gone. And you can never have it again. So we must be very careful the way we spend our time. So, my friend, how many years have you lived for now? If you have lived for 50, 60, or 70 years and have not improved on our time, now it cannot be helped. It is eternally gone from us. Because you can never get that time back. Whatever time you have spent, it is gone. It can never come back. So what did you do with those times? Like I said, eternity depends on how we use our time here, how wise we use our time here. There are many, many people, like I said, who waste their time on unnecessary things. Especially those who waste their time in idleness. Like I said, some things are just idle. You waste your whole time there. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 15 says, "Oh, an idle soul shall suffer hunger. And idle soul shall suffer hunger." So if you waste your time in idleness, you will suffer hunger. Those who spend their time only in worldly pursuits, neglecting their souls. There are many, many people who spend all their time in worldly pursuits, what they can gain in this world, not thinking about their soul, not thinking about where they will spend in eternity. Here, if you Christ said, if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul, what is it? Even if you have so much wealth, within a short time, even the food that you can eat, now you can't eat. Sometimes, when I'm eating, maybe I take a few, maybe loaves of bread, and I can't eat again. And the same person from 2 years ago, I know how I was eating. So if you have spent all your time for wealth in this world, there will be a time that you see them as useless. I think I've told you a story about a doctor who was selling his hospital because he was sick to death. He was going to die, and he asked the children to sell the property. And one of them was from the terminal, because when he comes to TMBC and will go and visit the man. Whenever somebody brings an offer and they tell the man doesn't want to hear about that. All he wanted is to hear the word of God. At that time, he had wasted all his time to acquire that word. Now, at that age, he's seeing that it's nothing to him. And that's what it is. If you waste all your time now on worldly things, who's neglecting your soul, a time will come that you have really done a stupid thing. So those whose time is taken up in caring and laboring for the world, in whatever they can acquire, will get to a point that they will know that they have wasted their time. Because this world, all the money you can make can never satisfy you when you get older. When you see how now you are going to meet God, how are you going to meet God? Because like Proverbs said, you are going to account to God what you have used your time for. So now, consider what we have said already, and then we are going to see how we can be accountable for our time. Like I said, time is a talent given to God, and He has allotted us for this time, and we should use it to prepare for the time to meet Him. Like I said, consider how much time you have lost already. If you are 20 years, you have wasted 20 years. What have you done with the 20 years? You can never get that 20 years back. What are you going to do with your years that are to follow? If you are 50 years, you have wasted 50 years already. What have you done with the 50 years? So when time is gone, it is gone. You can never get it back. So you must make sure that you use your time wisely. Then I was going to talk about the very precious time, which is the Lord's Day, and the time for public worship, whether it's Bible studies or prayer meeting, or whatever it is. This is a very precious time. Like the Lord's Day is a precious time. I think the other time I did a sermon on that, how to spend the day holy. Say, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How to spend the day holy and the benefits of spending that day holy. How do you spend your Lord's Day? Do you just come to church and go home and that's it for the whole day? Because that day is the Lord. Thank God in our church, you can spend the whole day with the Lord. Because you can be here from morning, come back Sunday school, come to teaching service, and you have used the whole day with the Lord. And there are a lot of blessings for keeping that day holy as the Lord has said. People spend their long day in sleeping because they want to prepare for the next working day. They will spend the whole time in sleeping. You are wasting your time. And also the time of your youth, how precious it is. Because a time will come when the thing that you can do now, you can't do it again. When that time is gone, it is gone. So if you are young, how are you using the time with the energy that God has given you, with the vitality that God has given you? A time is going to come when you can't do that again. Even I remember some few years ago when we were walking down there across the bridge to evangelize. These days when I walk to that bridge, I get tired. See, so you see, if you waste your time when you are young, it is gone and you can't get it back again. So he said in Isaiah 55, he said, to seek the Lord while he may be found, and to call upon him while he is near. Then 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, I've heard you in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the time, the day of salvation. So you have to make sure that in your youthful day, when you are young and you are strong, you use your time wisely, especially in the service of God. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all other things shall be added unto you. Spend your time with the Lord, and the Lord will also give you what you want. The Lord knows what you need. He created you. But if you want to spend the time for your own self, then there will be a problem. If you spend it for Him, He will also take care of all your other things. Now let's look at some of the benefits of keeping this time, our precious time. And I'll quote from Mark chapter 10, verse 29-31. He said, and Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my sake, and the gospel, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and land with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. You see here, he's saying that if you leave your everything and follow Christ, all the things that you have left, he will give you twice in this world, and then eternal life. So you see the benefits of spending your time wisely and seeing that your time is precious. I'll finish by quoting a prayer in Psalm 132, verse 1 to 3. That was a prayer of David. And he prayed at a time that he was in trouble. He said, Lord, remember me. You see, he is telling God to remember him for how he has spent his time. For David, we know how David lived. He spent his time in the service of God. And so he was calling God to remember him for all what he has done and to deliver him from his problem. So we can see that one of our greatest prayers to God is for God to remember us. We always want God to remember. How will he remember you? For what? What do you want God to remember you for? We see a few examples here of people who spend their time with God. And when they were in trouble, how God, because of what he had done, they remembered them. First, in Esther chapter 6, when God called King Ahasuerus to open the book of remembrance, remember the book of remembrance concerning Mordecai, when he had a death sentence. When the book was read, and how he has spent his time in the service of God, that sentence was changed to honor and exaltation. We all know that story of Mordecai. Instead of him being hanged, he was honored and promoted. Why? Because God remembered him for what he has done, for how he has spent his time in the service of God. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, we can talk about Noah. After the flood, when he said, God, remember him. God remembered him. When he called him at the time, he left all what he was doing and he obeyed God and did exactly as God had done. So he spent his time in the service to God. We can talk of Rachel, who was barren, and people were, his friends were mocking him and all that thing. God remembered her and gave her what she wanted. In Luke chapter 23, verse 42, we can see that another prayer for remembrance saved the thief on the cross when Christ was going to be crucified. The thief just said, remember me. Remember him for what? For believing in Jesus. So all how we spend our time, especially in the service of God, will never be a waste. And the Lord will always be with us. There's another last one that I want us to talk about, and it's King Hezekiah. When God told him that he was about to die, and he should prepare for his death, God sent Isaiah to tell him, thou shalt die and not live. What did he do? He turned his face to the wall and prayed to God. What did he say? He asked God to remember him, remembering him, how he had walked before him uprightly. God immediately canceled the death sentence and added 15 years to his life, all because of how he spent his life, his precious time in the service of God. So if you spend your time serving the Lord, he will hear you in your day of trouble when you pray to him to remember you. God must remember you for something. But for what? What have you lived? What have you done with your time that he has given you? How did you live in this world? How did you spend the time that God has given you? Friends, it is very, very important how we spend our time. And like I said, we have all these examples. When we pray to God, we can ask God to remember you for what you have done. But do you have anything to tell God what you have done? Are you loving your fellow friends, your fellow believers? Are you sacrificing for them? Are you supporting the hungry? Are you supporting the sick? Are you using your time wisely? And like I said from the beginning, how precious you see your time will determine how your life will be in eternity. If you waste your time here, you will suffer in this world, you will lose eternity. If you spend your time wisely, God will reward you. We can learn from our friends in the Methodist Church when they say, look to God's work and yours will be done. You are now the after course. You will spend your time with the Lord and the Lord will take care of yours. Are you a young man here? Are you looking for a job? How are you using your time for God? Are you in financial difficulties? How are you using your time for God? Whatever it is, let God remember you for what you are using your time for. And the God of wonders will reward you by remembering you, as we have seen that what he has done for all these people. My prayer is that we should have our time as precious and well wisely used for God to remember us in our times of trouble.